myself.
You went yesterday.
Oh,
you went yesterday.
Really? Even though we didn't get to talk to him about actual football stuff.
He was at the podium. You could have asked him.
No, that wasn't the way it went. Trust me. We try to observe the protocol around here, even though it doesn't always serve us.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Did we do the one getting lost on the field?
Not my area.
Huh?
Doesn't concern me.
Well?
No, I don't.
Right. So you don't talk about the double press or anything?
No. Yes.
Just about individual player first. I mean, how good a season? I mean, maybe it's kind of gone unnoticed with, you know, some of the guys he plays with, but I mean, Sione had an incredible game against Miami. I mean, how, and he's been such an under the radar guy, but how good has he been this season?
He's been solid as a rock. I mean, it's nothing spectacular. I mean, I would say that's about as close to spectacular as he'll ever get. It was last Sunday. And just played an outstanding game. I don't know how many tackles. I think he ended up credited with maybe close to double digits. I know he had a tackle for loss, a sack, recovered a fumble. But that's him. I mean, just steady, doing his job. You know, that's the kind of performance, you know, from a flashier guy or in a victory that, you know, that maybe warrants, you know, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. I mean, that type of, I mean, you watch the tape. I mean, he was that good.
How does he, I mean, is he getting up there with some, you know, the way he's playing with, you know, some of the interior, top interior tackles?
I think so. I mean, when we watch the tape each week, just from a technique standpoint, and as far as when you look at each play and the smoke clears from every play and you say, did that player do his job? I mean, he plays near flawless. I mean, it's rare. When he gets a minus, it's rare. And DeVito's not that far behind him, and I think that's one of the reasons that we've been able to do some of the things, some of the success we've had, especially against the run, is that it goes largely unnoticed. But a big part of it is those two guys. As we talked about too, when Jenk went down, we knew from having gone through it before that we had two guys we knew were going to be solid in there.
With Dwight, Braxton Hill start this Sunday at safety. First, what about that? Second of all, are you guys confident that he'll be able to make the move from cornerback to safety without a hitch?
Well, we started back in OTAs. We knew it was something, bringing Cromartie in here and drafting Kyle, that we felt that Dwight could kind of be a hybrid type player for us, that he could bounce around, still have his role at corner if he had to go inside or outside, but we felt that we could use his talents elsewhere with the quality that tight ends in the AFC. Here's a guy that, little bigger guy, you know, with corner type ability, covering tight ends, and then that just kind of got to the point where, you know, if we're gonna let's go ahead and look at him as a third down safety, you know, playing deep off the ball, whether it's middle of the field or whether it's the deep half, and that's, he got a lot of work at that in the spring, and he got a lot of work at that during training camp. So that's something that situation we don't really want to be in, but at the same time, here's a guy that's gotten a lot of work at those techniques, and he's had a good week of practice. I think he's ready to step in there and play it.
And talking to DT back in training camp, he was saying he feels that Lauer's better, like, not playing on the outside, mm-hmm. better like in the inside than playing like on the middle of the field. Is that what you feel is better?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think his best position is safety. And again, it was going to be one where we felt it was going to be a sub-safety, you know, third down, nickel situations. But this game is, there's a need for him to be in there on early downs as well. And again, he knows what he's doing. He's very intelligent. The plan's not a problem for him. And it's just a matter of going out there and executing him. I think him and Brodney have had a solid week just as far as their communication and then how they communicate. Dwight having been a corner, I think that helps him too now, having the ability to make sure that he informs the corners, you know, what's going on and what techniques they're playing and things like that. So. Again, it's not the situation we wanted to be in, being down three safeties. But again, it's the league of next man up, and we're looking forward, I think, having him out there. It helps us in the pass game because you really do have a third corner out there in passing situations on the early downs too.
Mike, what's going to go into the? How are you guys going to make the decision, or how do you make the decision about when you choose who's going to do the play calling now? Like Jimmy always did it. And then you transfer to Eric. Eric's out. So what goes into the decision now? How do you pick one of those guys to take over?
Well, I mean, it really falls on Brodney. But again, I think the corners also understand that, you know, a lot of times the corners get in the mode where they don't want to have to deal with the call. But a lot of, you know, now with the guys that have, you know, Crow's played in the system now for a good chunk of time, and this is Revis' second year in it. So those guys understand it as well. The safeties do. So I think that's, and they understand the issue there with not having Jimmy, and the communication maybe needs to be more two-way than one-way. And we're always using the phrase, you know, the cliche, be on the same page, be on the same page. And it affects the corners, and you know, I think they're doing a good job understanding our situation back there and kind of taking a little bit more ownership and putting us in the right call.
Does Jim have a behind-the-scenes role? Is he doing any coaching?
Yeah, he's been around. He's been wheeling around the building. I don't know if you've seen his little scooter. It's got the Wisconsin license plate on it. It says Jim 36. But he's been around. I know he spent some time with Jim O'Neill and with DT. And I think next week he'll be more of an expanded role. But he came in and was real good. We went through it. It wasn't fun to do, but Bart was in the room too, and Jim and Rex came in and just kind of went through the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh. I think it's a film that none of us had ever really watched. You know, Jim's like, this is the first time I've ever watched this game, the game that ended our season in 08 in Baltimore. So you know, we had prepared well for that game, and I think had a lot of good information, and it was all kind of came flowing back to him. So he was helpful.
Have you ever
way.
Seen that yourself?
Not all of it. It was hard to get through.
When did you guys watch that?
I think that was on. I want to say that was on Tuesday.
Oh, so with coaches and not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We weren't watching it as they were just there. I mean, Jimmy was just there because he was down in the training room, and Bart likes to come in and just bother us while we're working. So it just happened all time up
like
that we were all
say
together.
Jimmy will have more of an expanded role next week just because he'll be a little healthier.
Just because I think, I don't know. I mean, I think he'll still be on the scooter, but just as far as, you know, that he'll be another week past it, and I think he'll be ready to go ahead, and we'll come up with some jobs for him, whether it's, hey, study the third downs or, you know, prepare for the game like you normally would, then go ahead and maybe make a presentation to the DB. I mean, we haven't really thought it through yet, but it's something that we know there's going to be something. We're just not sure what it is yet.
What concerns you most about Roethlisberger? Obviously, you guys have faced him many times when you're in Baltimore. What concerns you most about this guy?
Yeah, that's the one advantage that we have is between Rex, DT, and I. You know, we've faced him, you know, two times a year for all those years. And the biggest thing is just understanding the concept of you're going against it's really street ball. You know, the play doesn't really start until he gets hit. Okay, for a lot of the time. So when you really go back and look at it, that when they make explosive plays, I want to say 4 out of 5 are due to somebody missing a tackle on him getting flushed out of the pocket. The receivers there have coached very well. They're we talked to Santonio about it, as far as finding the open spots, whether it's man, whether it's zone, how they react to it, and it's just broken plays. And you sit there and get frustrated with it, but that's their style of offense. And I think it's unique to them. You know, you can't really put that in a class of too many other teams in the league. I mean, it's such a freelance type thing. You almost get tempted to say, you know what, we're not going to rush him. You know, we're just going to kind of push the pocket and actually force him. But he's good enough. I think early on that's what teams did to him, and then he figured out that he could still, you know, he'd learn to be a traditional quarterback. So I don't think you can do that either. So that's a thing where you have to understand. You get a chance to get him on the ground. You got to do it. There's because so many plays are made when he. I mean, he's the best in the league as far as breaking tackles.
You guys have had a little bit of a sack spurt lately. What's that been a product of? You just playing a little bit better, or is it? I mean, you've always talked about how they come in bunches sometimes, but are you just getting more pressure on the quarterback? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we had, you know, some of those dry spells where sometimes it's hard to explain. I mean, you look at a year ago and the number of interceptions we had. Now we're in a drought, and last year I don't think we struggled with fumbles. Now I think we lead the league in recovered fumbles and interceptions. We're near the bottom. So it's some of those things. It's hard to explain. You know, a tipped interception. You know, we're not getting some of those. Or same thing with the sack. Sometimes you get them and sometimes you don't. And we've been fortunate, you know, the last couple of weeks to have gotten the quarterback and to get him on the ground.
Guys,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have a minute, or if you could drive him?
The look on your face. Look at everybody's face. Like, everybody. I wish I could take a picture of everybody's face when that happens. Everybody's like,